Hare Krishna. Today is an auspicious day, not only because of the initiation ceremony, but because today is the disappearance day of Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur. It is described in scripture that when the Lord descends from the spiritual world into the material world, he arranges for different associates to assist him in his pastimes. Some play the part of elders, and they actually appear earlier, and some are peers, they appear at the same time, and some are juniors, they appear later. Haridas Thakur appeared before the Lord, and he was actually an incarnation of Lord Brahma, about whom we heard already. The first created being within the universe. And he served the Lord in various ways. He was born in a Muslim family, and he was subjected to many trials and tribulations. He was envied by Muslims and faced so many difficulties. And he was also tempted by Maya Devi herself. But he resisted the temptation because he was fixed in the mood of service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and in his chanting of the holy names. And although he was born in a Muslim family, Lord Chaitanya designated him as the Namacharya, the exemplar, the teacher and exemplar of the holy name. So after passing many years on this earth, engaged in the Lord's service, he exhibited his pastime or lila of illness, which led to his pastime of disappearance. And he had some specific desires for his disappearance. And his exchange with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the very end is instructive for all of us. So I will read some verses from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I hope you all have this book, this set of books, which are form part of a larger set, which I hope you all have. And if you don't, you can get them. But this chapter is from Antilila, chapter 11, the passing of Haridas Thakur. It begins with text 1. Namami Haridasam tam Chaitanyam tam Chatat Prabhum samstitam apiyan murtim svanke kritva nanartaya. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Haridas Thakur and his master, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who danced with the body of Haridas Thakur on his lap. So now we will come to text 21. Well, there's The previous day, Lord Chaitanya visited Haridas Thakur, and he brought him some Mahaprasad. And Haridas Thakur was so strict in his vow of chanting that he would not eat until he completed his vow. And his vow was to chant 300,000 names daily. 100,000 names is 64 rounds. So 300,000 names is 192 rounds. To chant 64 rounds will take about 8 hours. So to chant 2 times that would take 16 hours. And to chant 3 times would take 24 hours. But Haridas Thakur may have chanted more quickly, but still, he spent most of his time chanting the holy name. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought the Mahaprasad to him, Haridas Thakur said that I have not completed my quota of rounds, so how can I eat? But then again, you brought Mahaprasad, and how can I refuse? So Chaitanya Charitamrita says that he honored the prasad. And we also use that word. We don't like eat it like a creature devours some edible, but we honor it. So he honored a little Mahaprasad. Then the next day, this is what I will read. Text 21. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Haridas's place and inquired from him, Haridas, are you well? Haridas offered his obeisances to the Lord and replied, my body is all right, but my mind and intelligence are not well. This is actually a reversal of the fact, but that's what he said. And that was also his humility, because he wasn't concerned with the body. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further inquired from Haridas, can you ascertain what your disease is? Haridas Thakur replied, my disease is that I cannot complete my rounds. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. If one cannot complete the fixed number of rounds he is assigned, he should be considered to be in a diseased condition of spiritual life. Srila Haridas Thakur is called Namacharya. Of course, we cannot imitate Haridas Thakur, but everyone must chant a prescribed number of rounds. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we have fixed 16 rounds as the minimum, so that the Westerners will not feel burdened. That means for the Indians, it probably should be 64. This is a concession for us Westerners. These 16 rounds must be chanted and chanted loudly, so that one can hear himself and others. Text 24. Now that you have become old, the Lord said, you may reduce the number of rounds you chant daily. You are already liberated, and therefore you need not follow the regulative principles very strictly. Purport. Unless one has come to the platform of spontaneous love of God, He must follow the regulative principles. On the spontaneous platform of love of God, one is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Even before that stage, there's a stage called asakti, where one is very attached to Krishna and just on the verge of the stage of love of God. And at that stage, if one's mind wanders for a moment away from Krishna, somehow, without the person's making any endeavor, it comes back to Krishna. It's like the opposite of us. We're chanting, and somehow, without our knowing how, our mind is somewhere else, away from Krishna. We have no idea how it got there. And it's a big effort to bring it back. But at this stage, if for a moment your mind wanders away from Krishna, it automatically comes back. And you don't know how it happened, but you're so attached to Krishna. But until one comes to that stage, one should follow the regulative principles very strictly. Haridas Thakur was the living example of how to follow the regulative principles. Similarly, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was also such a living example. In the Sad Goswami Astaka, it is stated, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibi Kalavasani Krito. The Goswamis, especially Raghunath Das Goswami, strictly followed all the regulative principles. The first regulative principle is it's without looking on the screen. You just heard it. The first regulative principle is that one must chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra loudly enough so that he can hear himself. And one must vow to chant a fixed number of rounds. Not only was Raghunath Das Goswami chanting a fixed number of rounds, but he had also taken a vow to bow down many times and offer obeisances to the Lord. So we offer obeisances to the Lord and to the devotees. Raghunath Das Goswami composed many beautiful prayers of obeisance to the Lord and the Lord's associates. And so this is also a very important item. It's very good to offer obeisances. Text 25. Your role in this incarnation is to deliver the people in general. You have sufficiently preached the glories of the holy name in this world. Purport. Haridas Thakur is known as Namacharya because it is he who preached the glories of chanting Harinam, the holy name of God. By using the words Tomara Avatar, your incarnation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms that Haridas Thakur is the incarnation of Lord Brahma. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that advanced devotees help the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his mission, and that such devotees are personal associates incarnate by the will of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord incarnates by his own will, and by his will, competent devotees also incarnate to help him in his mission. Haridas Thakur is thus the incarnation of Lord Brahma, and other devotees are likewise incarnations who help the prosecution of the Lord's mission. So then there's a beautiful exchange between Haridas Thakur and Lord Chaitanya, in which Haridas Thakur discloses his real purpose, which is that he knew that he would be leaving his body soon, and he wanted to leave in the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so he asked that Lord Chaitanya grant him that benediction. Then the next day, Lord Chaitanya returned with his associates and out of his causeless mercy, he placed his lotus feet on the heart of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur gazed upon the lotus face of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chanting the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shiva Sarigor Bhaktavinda. He left his body. And Lord Chaitanya picked up his body, and in ecstasy he danced with his body. He took it to the ocean and bathed it in the ocean. He declared, henceforth the ocean will be a holy place. And he put Haridas Thakur's body in, they dug a hole and they placed his body in it. He put a tulsi plant on top of it. And now there's a tomb, a samadhi for Haridas Thakur. And Lord Chaitanya personally distributed Mahaprasad with his own hand. And at the end of this chapter, there's a very beautiful blessing from Krishna Das, well, from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, that anyone who hears the description of the glorious passing of Haridas Thakur will be blessed with love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna. So Haridas Thakur is our exemplar. As Srila Prabhupada said, we may not be able to chant the number of rounds he chanted, but we should chant our minimum number of rounds, and we should chant loudly and with attention. So there are 10 offenses against the chanting of the holy name, and we should be aware of them and avoid them. As part of the morning program in every temple, Srila Prabhupada advised the devotees to read the list of 10 offenses. And that is an indirect prayer to be free from those offenses when we chant. And I think I will ask you all as a group, each of you can volunteer one of the 10 offenses to tell us what it is. You don't have to describe it, but just in briefly, what's the first offense? Yes, yes. Microphone. Yes, to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord, sadhu ninda. And this is a very important offense to avoid. It is said familiarity breeds contempt. So when we first come to the association of devotees, we're usually, to some extent or another, materially exhausted. And we can see very clearly the difference between devotees who are working to purify their hearts and help others, and ordinary people who are trying to exploit others and enjoy the material world. But after living in close proximity to devotees for some time, one may start to see them in a material way. And and criticize them. And that is very damaging for our spiritual life, Sadhananda. And in his book, Harinam Chintamani, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes Haridas Thakur, explaining the truth of the holy name and the offenses. And he mentions different grounds that one could find for criticizing a devotee. Like his birth, his or her birth, his or her previous sinful activities, even current vestiges of sinful activities, even not having certain good qualities. But Haridas Thakur says that these are not grounds for criticizing a devotee. There are 26 qualities of a devotee mentioned in scripture, and one of them is Krishnaika Sharanam, to have taken full shelter of Krishna, or the holy name of Krishna. And if a devotee has that one qualification, if he does, even if he doesn't have any of the other 25, of course they will develop, and we want to work on that. But if he has that one, that is sufficient to qualify him as a devotee. And therefore, criticism of that person is an offense. Sometimes we're in a situation where it's our duty to correct someone, and that should be done without malice, you know, with sympathy, and as service. Like when the astrologer came to Lord Chaitanya's home, his father's home, and did his horoscope, he said, this boy is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have to be very careful. You know, you can't chastise him or correct him. And he said, well, maybe he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but if he does something wrong, I have to correct him. Otherwise, he'll go astray. So sometimes we do have to correct a dependent, a subordinate, but it should be done with love, with in the mood of service. In the mood of service. That's not offensive. But just, you know, criticizing and finding fault and gossiping is very damaging, very damaging. So we have to really control our speech. Then second offense.
To consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the names of Lord Vishnu.
I won't say more because I won't assume that everyone knows this because there are people who are visiting. But in brief, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's like the king. And the demigods, even Brahma, Shiva, Durga, Ganesh, they are like ministers to the king. They're very powerful and we do respect them. But they're not equal to the king. And they don't act independent of the king. And to think that they're equal to or independent is an offense to the king. You know? There was once an Austrian born a person. He came to India and he became a sannyasi in the impersonal school, and he had the name Bharati, Agendra Bharati. And he was sort of in the mood that Shiva is supreme. And there was a big article in the Illustrated Weekly of India. And so I wrote back refuting it. And so the editor, he was an atheist, Kushwant Singh. He would bring believers together in such a way as to try to make them look bad. So with my response, he published a big article called Hare Krishna versus Shiva Shiva. And, you know, in his own way, he presented Bharati's position and my position. And I could just see what he was doing. He was trying to make us both look silly. So I wrote Prabhupada and I explained what happened and my analysis of it. And he said, yes, you're right. Bharati is a fool, but Singh is a demon. So, but still we respect the demigods. We don't disrespect them, but we see them in their proper position. And otherwise it is an offense. Then third,
to disobey the orders of spiritual master.
Yes. Gurur Avagya. The spiritual master is passing on the same instructions that he's received from his spiritual master, who in turn received them from his spiritual master. And the original spiritual master is Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so it's an offense to disobey his instructions, especially in the matter of chanting the holy names and also worshiping the deity. I had this talk earlier today with Radhika Raman Prabhu, because this is a question, like, how do you take the instructions of the spiritual master, even the instructions of the scripture, you know, how absolutely do you take them, or how much do you contextualize them? And again, there are different categories of instructions on different matters. So, you know, I said that I was always the type that took the instructions literally. And that was just the way I was. So in Juhu, Bombay, where Srila Prabhupada had some land and wanted to build a temple, which is there now, he was very disturbed because the construction was not moving along. He was very disturbed. So he wrote a letter that, you know, I want to see the construction begin, even if you only lay one brick. So I called together a few devotees. We took out some stakes and some string. We sort of figured out where the wall would go. And, you know, it was right before the Mayapur festival. So I think we laid about probably 18 or 20 bricks. So the project director, Sourabh, he was like a professionally trained architect. And he could not believe what we were doing. Like, he thought, this is useless. And he sort of, you know, mocked our effort. But years later, he said, actually, although I thought that way at the time, but I think what you did is very safe spiritually. I think you're actually safer spiritually than me. I mean, I'm not saying that to... If, just to make this point, that it's safer to follow the instructions. And there are many times with Prabhupada. I'll tell one other just to... So the Juhu property had six buildings at the back that were occupied by tenants. And you know, in India you can't really... The tenants have more rights than the owners. So we couldn't get them out, but we got permission to build one story on top of each building. So we didn't have much money, and the flat roof was made of broken tiles in cement. And Prabhupada said, you know, just let that be the floor of the additional story, and you just build up the walls and the roof on top of it. So I did that. And after some time, that, you know, with all the walking on that previous rooftop, the cement started to crumble and little pieces of the tile chips started to come up. So the GBC, like, complained about me to Srila Prabhupada that, you know, Giriraj is like so cheap. He wouldn't put in a proper floor. He just kept the same roof from before, and now look what's happening. So I was, you know, like surrender to Prabhupada. He could have said anything and I would have accepted. And I thought he might have just remained silent. But he didn't. He told that he's a pretty strong-willed GBC. Actually, I told him to do that. So, I guess my point is that it's always safe to follow the instructions. And it could be risky not to. Number four.
To blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature and persons of Vedic version.
Now, we read in Srimad Bhagavatam that there are different degrees of offenses. You might know the story of Bhrigu Muni. There was like a discussion between Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu, who is the supreme or who is in the mode of goodness. Anyway, so yes, blaspheming we shouldn't do. But even mentally, we may have doubts. We may read things in the scriptures that we don't really believe. And that it's not wrong to bring out one's doubts, but to just keep those doubts within and sort of conclude that you are right and the scripture is wrong, that's an offense. Because it is the scripture that describes Krishna, that describes the holy name of Krishna, that describes the process of bhakti yoga. And if we go against the scripture, you know, turn against the scripture, it's like our mother. The Vedas are like our mother. It's like we're going against our own source of nourishment. And then the most subtle manifestation of that is not to read the books. It's a subtle offense. I mean, Vyasadeva gave us the books. Srila Prabhupada stayed up at night and translated them, and not to read them or not to attend the classes on them is a subtle offense. So we really have to give ourselves fully to the process. So we'll hear the others. We won't discuss them all for the sake of time, but we should hear them. Number five.
I namely Kalpana, to seek the glories of the Holy Name to be imagination.
Yes. And some of our devotees, like His Holiness Satchinanda and Swami, say that if we don't chant properly, if we don't chant attentively, we won't really feel the beneficial effects of the Holy Name, and then we'll think it's imaginary, or, you know, we'll think this is all, pious exaggeration. Next.
Give some interpretation of the Holy Name of the Lord.
Yeah, that's similar. There are good things to say about all of them, but we'll try to control our tongue. Next.
To commit simple activities on the strength of the chanting of the Holy Name of the Lord.
Yes. This is very important. And often Srila Prabhupada says this is the greatest offense or the worst offense. But the idea is that, as Vaisheshika Prabhu said, that when you surrender to the spiritual master and take shelter of the Holy Name, your previous sinful reactions are eradicated. And that's a principle. If you chant the Holy Name, it's said in the scripture, if you chant the Holy Name, you can destroy the reactions to more sins than you're able to commit. But if someone thinks, I can do whatever I want, and then I'll just chant and wipe it all clean, that's an offense. Not only is it an offense against the Holy Name, but it doesn't work. In fact, you're compounding the reactions by that offense. So this can also have subtle manifestations that we might not deal with someone nicely. Oh, think I'm a devotee. You know, I'm doing it for Krishna. It's okay. But we should actually be very careful in all of our dealings. Not to offend anyone, not to cause pain to any living entity. And, sometimes we might steal a flower for Krishna. Or might do a little something, and it's for Krishna. I'm serving Krishna. But we should be careful. We should be careful. And we definitely should not get caught. One of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, he did a lot of collecting in the name of feeding poor people in India, but he didn't really use the money for that. And then he got caught. And, you know, it was a terrible embarrassment for the society, and a lot of the society's assets were frozen and taken by the government. It was really a very bad situation. And, the disciple gave the defense to Srila Prabhupada that he was doing it for Krishna, you know. And so Prabhupada told a story that somewhere, we won't make it too specific, somewhere everyone on that little island was engaged in smuggling. And so one man got caught. Smuggling, black market. So one man got caught. He was brought before the judge. And he said, judge, everyone on this island does exactly what I do. So why are you punishing me? If you punish me, then you should punish everyone. Everyone knows it. And the judge said, I'm not punishing you for smuggling or black marketing. I'm punishing you for getting caught. So, anyway, it's safest is not to do anything wrong in the name of being a devotee. That's definitely the safest. I think we'll stick to that. If you have any exceptions in mind, consult Vaisheshika. But little things we can do for Krishna. Then, next.
To consider chanting of the holy names as one of the ritualistic activities prescribed in the Vedas in Karma Kanda.
Yes. People do, you know, Vedic sacrifices and things to get some material benefit. So to think that chanting Hare Krishna is like that, it's like some ritual, and if I do it, I'll get some material benefit, that's an offense. We can't. Next.
Preaching the glories of the Hare Krishna mantra to the faithless.
Yes, this is a very important point, that if someone doesn't have faith, and if you preach about the glories of the holy name, then they'll think that what you're saying is just imagination. That they'll think that you're deluded. Like once I was on an airplane ride with my father, mother, sister, and a devotee friend to Kashmir. And, you know, my father was a rational person, sort of scientific, and Prabhupada had written the book, Easy Journey to Other Planets, using some scientific language to appeal to scientific-minded people. So, you know, he didn't have faith, and I started to preach to him about, you know, the anti-material worlds and how you can travel to the anti-material worlds. And, you know, he was looking at me like, my poor son. It's like, sort of like, I thought he was crazy, but I didn't know he was this far gone. I mean, he didn't say it, but I could see it in his face. And I realized, you know, I'm making a big mistake here. I'm actually making things worse by my so-called preaching. And then I thought, this is the offense. And Prabhupada said that you have to build up faith on the basis of logic and reason. Then when they have faith, you can speak about things that are appreciated only when someone does have faith. But until they have faith, you just have to speak on the basis of logic and reason, or just engage them in service, and gradually they'll be purified and make advancement. So, yeah, we have to judge our audience and speak at an appropriate level for them. Don't say too much too soon. Or give them a book. That's always the best, because then they get everything. They can't argue with you. Yeah, that's the best. All right, then, next.
Not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and to maintain all the material attachment even after hearing so many instructions on this matter.
Can you explain what you just said?
It's majorly not to have faith in the holy name when you're chanting the Vedas Mantra. So when we are chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it should not be like, there should not be doubts holding around the mind that is it working, is it not working, should I chant further, should I not chant further. We should have complete faith that the name of Krishna and Krishna is one with him, and we should try to reduce our material attachments since we are hearing on the subject matter from such a long time.
That's good. There's actually a connection between the two. To not have complete faith in the holy name and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions. The idea is, if I have faith that the holy name will fulfill all my desires, you know, fulfill all my needs, then I won't hold on to my material attachments. I'll see that they're impediment to my taking full shelter of the holy name. But if I don't really have faith in the holy name, then I'll think, well, I'm not really sure if this is going to work or not. So I'll try it, but at the same time, you know, I'll have this thing going on and that thing going on and that thing going on. And if the holy name one doesn't work, well, I still have this and that and the other thing. So that really means you don't have faith in the holy name. And it's an offense. It's like you're chanting the holy name, but your heart's not really in it. But like, almost everything depends on association. By associating with people who have faith, we develop faith. And then there's an 11th one, and again, depending on how you divide the Sanskrit, it is one of the 10. Some of Prabhupada's translations of the list includes this as one of the 10, which is to be inattentive. Like often when we recite the 10 from the Nectar of Devotion at the end, someone will say it's also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur says that one is, that's the root of all the other offenses. If you chant inattentively, all the others have scope to flourish. And if you chant with attention, then that chanting will clear our anarthas and free us from the other offenses. So that's the main one, to chant with attention. So when we follow everything, I mean, some of the offenses we commit at the time of chanting, but others are offenses that we commit when we're not chanting, like blaspheming devotees. I mean, we hope that while you're chanting you're not blaspheming devotees, but it's something to do when you're not chanting. But it will disturb the condition of your heart, so when you do chant you'll be disturbed. So our whole life should be led in such a way that when we do chant, our heart is clean, it's open, it's receptive to the holy name, and we can get the real benefit. And then we know this is not exaggeration, it's not imagination, it's real. So that's good. And as Vaisheshika Prabhu said, we have the Pancharatrika Vidhi to help us be regulated and controlled, and it all goes together. So now, by Vaisheshika Prabhu's desire, I will give first initiation to two devotees, and then he will give his initiation. Do they have the neck beads put on?
Yeah, now they need to have it put on.
Yeah. So some initiated devotees should put the new neck beads on the new initiates. And I didn't get to discuss this with the two Pratibha and Puja. We didn't discuss which of you was coming forth first, so the two of you discuss and let me know. And in the meantime, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
What do you want to do about our reason? We're going to have them, you know, go like this way.
Yeah.
Because it's that way.
Right.
Right? And you're
okay.
Left side, so.
Okay. So, right. Offer like this way. Well, in this case, from now on, how do you do it? You do it, you just ask her?
Yeah.
All right, we'll do it your way. Okay, so afterwards, you go and offer obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. So, what are the four principles that you agree to follow?
I think I vow to the infant of the devotees, my Siksha Guru, my Guru Maharaj, and the deity, to follow the four regulated principles, which are no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, and no illicit sex.
And how many rounds do you promise to follow, to chant?
I think I vow to chant minimum of 16 rounds every day.
Is there anything else you would like to say or declare?
I want to thank Sri Maharaj so much for accepting me in the Shantaram Prabhu's feet. Then I take a moment to thank Vaisheshika Guru, Vaisheshika Prabhu, Nirgula Mataji, and all the devotees alike need to accept me and to give me shelter and association, which has given me a chance to whatever little advancement I have done. It wouldn't have been possible. And I'm also going to make, which is actually, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are my life and soul, but I take a vow that they will be my life and soul to the end.
Jai. Thank you very much. So, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara, I'm pleased to accept you as my duly initiated disciple. And henceforth, you will be known as Preeti Radhika Dasi. Preeti means love or affection, and of course Radhika is Srimati Radharani, so Preeti Radhika means loving Radhika, affection.
Sorry for the interruption, sorry, but there's a car parked in the driveway of the next door apartment, Toyota family, nameplate 4HT C016. Please move your car or it will be towed away.
planning myself, but I have a feeling I spoke too much, so I'm not speaking about the candidates. So what are the four principles that you promised to follow?
I give a vow to follow the four regulative principles of no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, and no illicit sex.
And how many rounds?
I take a vow to chant a minimum of 16 rounds every day.
And is there anything else you would like to say or declare?
Well, thank you very much, Maharaj, for taking me in your shelter. And I guess I would also like to take a vow to read Srila Prabhupada's book every day, at least a page or two.
Good. That's very good. Actually, Preeti Radhika and Pooja are sisters, and they have been helping each other in Krishna consciousness all along. And it's a really great fortune for them to be so close as sisters and to have such a spiritual relationship as sisters, that all they do is really talk about Krishna consciousness and how to improve. In this path, Pooja became more serious a little before Pratibha, or now Preeti Radhika. But she was saying how, like, Pooja had told her that whatever happens, you should chant at least one round during Brahma Muhurta. And I thought that was such a nice thing for a sister to say to a sister. And Preeti Radhika also took it very seriously. So sometimes, you know, familiarity breeds, my sister, my brother. But they have a very spiritual relationship, and they respect each other spiritually. And because of that, they each take the good advice of the other, and they both make good progress together. And it's expanded now from them to, they have a third sister who's now an aspiring disciple in India, and their mother aged mother is chanting, and so it's increasing. It's increasing. So, anything else? On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara, I'm pleased to accept you as my duly initiated disciple. And henceforth, you will be known as Priya Gopika. So Priya means dear, and the primary meaning of Gopika in this context is Radhika, but it can mean other Gopikas. And so she's the servant of Radhika, or Gopika, who is very dear, and also the servant of those who are dear to Gopika, or Radhika. So, and I wanted the two names to be similar, but not too similar. simultaneously one and different. And these two names have, each of the two names has five syllables. And of those five syllables, two and a half are the same and two and a half are different. So they can be together as they are, as spiritual sisters, and also be individuals as they are. Hare Krishna.
Today, Shyamalani Devadasi, who already accepted Harinam initiation over a year ago, who has been, Shyamalani has been extremely steady, and especially have been eagerness for hearing. I always notice how you and your whole family come here to hear. And I always wonder how you do that, because you're all so busy. I mean, you have such a busy life and children to raise, and somehow or other you always make it to the class. And even in the rare chances, times when you can't make it to class, you're listening online very carefully with great enthusiasm. And also you've developed a desire to move forward in your spiritual life. You've been watching the devotees who are taking care of the deities, and this desire in your heart is developed to worship Shri Radha and Madame Mohan personally, which is the next step. So today, Shyamalani is taking mantra diksha, and later on I'm going to give her the mantras, and I'll speak them into her right ear, as the tradition, as I heard them from my spiritual master, and in this way they've been passed down. There are various mantras, beginning with the Brahma Gayatri mantra, and there are mantras to worship the spiritual master, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Krishna. And these mantras also form the basis for Mula mantras, which are used in the worship of the deity. So this is a very big occasion to come this far through all the different species of life, to come into this lifetime, and then reach this level of initiation. So we're all very proud of you for your determination, and we're all benefiting from the enthusiasm that you're bringing. And we don't have a grand crescendo for this one. We do have a certificate which has a proof that you've taken second initiation. Actually, I liked that Maharaj was asking if anyone had anything to say. We'll see if Shyamalani. Do you want to say something?
I just want to serve you better. I don't want to get better.
She wants to serve better and she wants blessings. Yes. This is our preoccupation, is how to serve better. If someone comes to the point of saying, my service is fine, that they're in a tailspin ready to hit the ground really hard. But if someone is thinking at every moment, how can I improve my service? That person is feeling ecstasy in life and is also connected to Krishna in a very profound way. And so I appreciate that very much, Shyamalani. I appreciate it. Next, we'll have Hero. Please come up. Hero, we met in 2009 back in Baskin, Avenue, which will, anyone who lived on Bascom Avenue will always remember it with great affection. And also, we'll remember how we've evolved. You know, where we came. We'll never forget where we came from. Let's put it that way. Where did we come from? What neighborhood did we come from? There was a pit bull in the yard. Remember? And it was 100 degrees at least during most of the programs. Anyway, you were there, and the moment you walked in, everyone could see your enthusiasm. And you approached me very early on, telling me that your desire was to make this life a success by moving forward in spiritual life. And Krishna hears such pleas from his devotee. In fact, even in the Shastra, it says at one time, Lord Ramachandra says, at one time someone says that I surrender to you, that's it. He said, from then on, he said, I consider that person my ward. I will take care of that person forever. And you've given your heart to this idea of surrendering to Krishna, and you've taken step by step this process to come up to this level. So we're all very proud of you and very happy for this event today. What vows do you have in mind?
Today I take a vow to follow the four regulative principles, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication.
Anything else?
And serve my Guru Maharaj and my Guru Mata better, and serve Prabhupada and Mohanji Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nishanadi better, and serve all the Vaishnavas to my best, physical and mental and financial abilities.
Did you mention anything about chanting?
And 15 hours of chanting with full attention.
Okay, and always, whenever you make a vow, it's always, like this is kind of legalese, but you always put at least in front of it.
At least.
Because then you have room to grow and say, I said at least, so then you can increase. So, okay, that's good. Anything else you'd like to say?
And I would like to thank my husband, Prashant, who has been with me till now, and I just want to thank him.
Thank you very much. Following the eternal principle of parampara, taking Srila Prabhupada's and Lord Chaitanya's order to expand the Sankirtan movement as my life and soul, and depending on their mercy, the mercy of the previous acharyas and all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who are like desire trees. I am exceedingly pleased to accept you as my disciple and therefore a grand disciple of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and a member of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. May all the previous acharyas and the ocean of mercy Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shower you with their grace. I hereby joyfully award you the name Kala Kali Devi Das. Lavanya, please come out.
To a
home program, and I remember how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said about Srila Prabhupada, that I marked that you liked to hear. There was something about you that there was extra enthusiasm, which is this utsahan, this enthusiasm for spiritual life. It's very auspicious. In fact, the word enthusiasm, entheos, means the God within. To have that means Krishna's prompting this, and it means good fortune. So you've been very steady and determined and enthusiastic in your service. And it's a wonderful day to see you here taking initiation from the deities and all the devotees. Following the eternal principle of parampara, taking Srila Prabhupada's and Lord Chaitanya's order to expand the Sankirtan movement as my life and soul, and depending on their mercy, the mercy of the previous acharyas and all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who are like desire trees, I am exceedingly pleased to accept you as my disciple, and therefore a grand disciple of this divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and a member of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. May all the previous acharyas on the ocean of mercy, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, shower you with their grace. I hereby joyfully award you the name Manjula Kanta Devi Dasi. Manjula Kanta, I found while I was reading the Bhakti Rasa Samhita Sindhu, and it means that Krishna's speech is always charming. His company's throat, so Manjula is a jewel. So his, whatever he speaks is pleasing, charming, and beautiful. Kala Kali, Devi Dasi, is one of the assistants of Srimati Radharani. And I've given you a reference in the certificate where you can look up your name. So it's a very intimate name of one of the servants in the spiritual world. That's your namesake. Jayendra Prabhu. Shadadevi Dasi, would you say something about Jayendra, since I think you met him first?
Hare Krishna. Jayendra Prabhu is a, is a result of book distribution yakya. We met him outside India Kashmiri, in Kalundara, where he had gone with the purpose of distributing Srimad Bhagavatam sets. Up until then, he had never distributed sets out there in a place like India Kashmiri. And he was the first one who came there. And I remember we had a smaller set of Bhagavatam, and it was cheaper. And so we told him that he wanted, really wanted the full volume, all the 12 candles. He's an ardent reader. But somehow I managed to send him the smaller set. But he came back the next week when we were there again, and he said, "Oh, he really wanted the big one, so he paid more and he took the big one." And then I used to follow up with him about reading, and he was progressing so fast, reading, you know, one chapter after another, one canto after another. And then as it happens, you know, after reading the Bhagavatam, he wanted devotee associations, so we saw him at the temple, he started coming regularly there. And James is very shy and quiet and unassuming, very, very talented. He sings, he can play the drum. And I came into very close contact with him when he went to Los Angeles. He volunteered to come there to help Guru Maharaj with the book distribution. And all the days that we were there, they were really long days, and he was working really hard from 3 o'clock in the morning through the temple sessions and doing book distribution the day and the night. And he never, ever complained. So I really think that I'm so fortunate to have him as my boss again. And then he has a wonderful family. His wife and daughter are here. That's the daughter, they're super talented. And I've seen that, you know, they also come to the temple and dedicate a lot of their time towards temple activities. So it's entirely, it's a package. He and his entire family is a wonderful family.
What is the vows you come here to make today?
I think about no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication.
For how long is that vow?
Forever.
Forever. What else?
And I take the vow to chant at least 16 times every day. I also take the vow to serve you to the best of my capability.
Thank you very much. Jayendra is a rare jewel, and it shows today the efficacy of our efforts to walk out the door to meet people. There are souls who are hankering for Krishna, who are just waiting for the instruction how to connect, and some of them are very qualified, and I find you to be one of those great gems who comes from a very upright background and who has a soft devotional heart, a very gentle nature. I'm very happy to have met you and to be instrumental in bringing you closer to Srila Prabhupada and the rest of this procession. And I'm especially gratified that you came because the devotees went out to distribute books. And this is one of, Prabhupada says in the Krishna book, if one person becomes a devotee because of this, my mission is a success. So, yeah. Parampara, taking Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya's order to expand the Sankirtan movement as my life and soul, and depending on their mercy and the mercy of the previous acharyas and all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who are just like desire trees, I am exceedingly pleased to accept you as my disciple and therefore a grand disciple of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and a member of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. May all of the previous acharyas and the ocean of mercy, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, shower you with their grace. The name I'm giving you includes a nickname of Krishna. It's used only by his closest devotees. I hereby joyfully award you the name Jai Kanai Das. To all of you who accepted initiation for me today, remember the verse Atashi Krishna Namadi Grayame
Nabhavet
Nabhavet Kramindriye Sevamukhi Ijivado Swayamiva Spuratida, that a spiritual life begins with the tongue. Be very careful about Vacha Vedam. If you control the tongue, how you speak, and take Krishna prasadam, then it becomes very easy to control all the other senses, and it pleases Krishna. He'll actually appear before you if you take the time and the trouble to control your tongue. And the other is to absorb yourself in Srila Prabhupada's books. Find out a systematic way to read the books. As Prabhupada says in his Chaitanya Charitamrita purport, that if my students don't read all the books, then they will return to eating, sleeping, and then they'll fall down again into the material world. So you have to renew every day and stay very close to the books. And last, remember to have compassion for other living entities. This is the way to be recognized by Krishna very, very quickly. That if you show mercy to others and help to expand the Sankirtan movement, especially by distributing books about Krishna to people all over the world, and you'll be recognized very quickly, and Krishna will give you special, special mercy. Thank you. Thanks to all of you. Hare Krishna. And now we'll give a microphone to our pundit. He has one already. We'll light.